to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. It's been 3 days and a handful of hours since that man became my problem again. I thought I'd cast him out and set myself free, but ghosts never quite let go. Another who wronged me, dead. Yet I'm too snowed under with paperwork to seek revenge. Worrying if resentment will give me worry lines, and if I have enough ethnic ancestors for my black not to crack under all the mess and pressure. Bothered black sheep, bordering on exhaustion, but still keeping a promise I don't recall making. I tried to be strong for the weakest in my bloodline, battling the urge to undo the bottle that had become a bomb. Ever self-absorbed, I willed myself on, wondering what the next generation of trauma-traced children of this clan are thinking of me in this very moment, in this latest meltdown. Everybody, but those who don't, gets out alive. But nobody gets out unscathed. And I can't explain why the grandfather and great uncle that they may mourn are the meaning of my melancholy mood, because it's not nice to say. And I am polite, even post-exile. But I've got this bottle. A bottle that became a bomb when I took my eyes off it. Shaking and spurting like a rocket with as little self-control as I have. I think we are going nuclear. I am very, very behind on quite a lot of things that I need to be doing. But I've got a really good excuse for it. Somebody on my dad's side of the family has died. And I'm apparently in charge of things. It's a person that I have not spoken to in quite some time. But I'm in charge. I'm listed as one of their next of kin. Everything falls to me. It was Tuesday night. It's like 12:30. So technically it was like Wednesday morning. And I came downstairs to get a shower. My bathroom is downstairs. I don't know why. There's a knock at the door. I'm in my dressing gown. It's 12:30 at night. There's a knock at the door and I'm like, fucking hell, what is this? I've got toothpaste on my face because I had a spot. It's like an old thing. You put toothpaste on a spot and it will get rid of it. I don't actually know what it does, but it comforts me to do that whole routine, so you know, leave me to my madness. And I'm thinking, oh god, I've got to wash this toothpaste off. But then there's another knock at the door and it's quite insistent, so I'm like, fucking hell, okay. So I just go and answer the door, and it's the police. And I'm like, oh shit, I haven't done any crimes, have I? No, I have not. And they come in, and they ask me, you know, do you know this person? And I'm like, well, yeah. And they said, they've got you listed as their next of kin. We're very sorry to tell you that they have died. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, God. I don't know what to do. I can't do this. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. Like, I had no idea what to do. I was just standing there, like, in my dressing gown, with toothpaste on my face, like a mad woman. And there's these two police officers telling me this. And I'm just thinking, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So they go through some details with me and they tell me that they're gonna be in touch. And then they leave. And I suddenly recall once again that I have had toothpaste on my face for the entire conversation while wearing a fluffy dressing gown. I go to the bathroom and I wash my face and I look in the mirror and I think, oh God, well now you're a proper adult. Because here's the thing, I have never really felt like I am an adult. Obviously, I'm aware that I am, you know, I am, for those who may be unaware, I am 31 years old. I'm 31 years old. And so I'm definitely legally an adult, of course. But I've never really felt like I was. I read this theory that people of my generation often feel like they're not proper adults because we are not following the same paths as previous adults from previous generations, you know, and in some cases that's a choice, but in some cases it's just circumstances, you know. Like, I don't know anybody my age that owns a house, for example, but many previous generations of adults at our ages would own houses and be married and have families and things like that, but we can't because houses are expensive. And it's hard to settle in rented accommodation. So that kind of, in a lot of cases, makes it harder to start a family. And so there's this whole thing, you know, and so some people of our generation feel like they're not adults because they're not following those same paths. And maybe that's what it is for me. But nevertheless, I don't feel like an adult. And suddenly I've got all these adult responsibilities because somebody is dead. And it's up to me to sort things out. I googled how much funerals cost and I almost had a stroke. I was like, I can't, what the fuck? Oh my God, what do you mean £4,000? Where am I going to get 4,000 bloody pounds? Whew. Ring my mum, panicking. And one of the things she said, well, you know, they might have a funeral plan. We don't know yet. We don't know. Don't panic yet. Maybe everything is fine. So the last few days have just been this hectic, crazy, wild situation where I don't really know what the fuck is going on. And I'm just doing things, you know, on autopilot. I have probably had about 10 hours sleep in total since Tuesday. Which is unfortunate. So I'm knackered. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And there's also this other stuff that I can't think about right now. You know, I can't think about the fact that this person who inexplicably lists me as an important person that needs to know when something happens to them has, for many, many years, made it clear that they don't want anything to do with me, you know? And I'm like, wait, so you disappear, you vanish. You don't wanna hang, you know, because somebody told you to, effectively. And then it turns out all this time I was your emergency contact. I was the one people should call. Me? Moi? Wow. I mean, my emergency contact is somebody that I actually, you know, talk to on a regular basis. You know, and we're in each other's lives. Because that makes sense to me. And so that's a burning question in the back of my head. Why me? Out of all the people, why me? I don't understand. And then there's this anger. You know, it's like the fucking audacity of it, really. You know, you spend years treating me like shit. But yet you think so much of me that I'm the person you think of to be there when something bad happens. I mean, if I'm the next of kin, if this person's still alive and they were rushed to hospital, the hospital would call me because I'm listed on the thing, on the file. They call me, I get a call, you know, this person's in hospital, can you come? Why me? What for? Was it some kind of hope that maybe a crisis would bring us back together? I mean, you know, stranger things have happened, I suppose, but I don't see it. I don't see it for me. And I feel like I can't think about the resentment, the anger. I can't do that because I've got so much shit to do. I had a brief panic the other day thinking, oh God, it's not just how much this fucking funeral is going to cost, all that, and getting everything together. If I'm the next of kin, if I'm the emergency contact, whatever, I should say something at this funeral. And what the fuck am I gonna say? I could write something and I could craft a very lovely narrative to make everyone feel better, because it's a funeral and everyone's gonna feel like shit, and I don't wanna make them feel more shit by standing up there and monologuing about how angry and upset I am. That's just not nice. So I could come up with something else, you know. But that's going to make me feel like shit. But maybe it's a sacrifice I make. And I actually, tearfully, on a train, started writing a eulogy. I've never written a eulogy before in my life. I gave it my best shot. I was really just going based on things I've seen in the movies, because I've only ever been to two funerals in my life. And I'll be honest, I don't really recall all that much, eulogy-wise. And these were both very well-liked people. So, I guess for the people giving those eulogies, it was very easy. And when I was writing it, I thought, I can't talk about all these feelings I have, this anger, because it's not right. You can't do that at a funeral. It's a dick move. It's not the done thing. But I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie. And so I started thinking about forgiveness. Do I forgive this person? I don't think I do. Maybe one day I will. I don't know. Maybe one day. But not now. And so I started to think about what forgiveness actually is. Is it about just giving someone a pass and saying, okay, well, you know, let's move on? Or is it something more than that? Is it a gift to myself? Because, well, I mean, there's nothing to be done about what happened, is there? It can't be changed. It can't be amended. It can't be resolved. I can't tell them what it meant, what it did. But I could close the chapter and I could say, I am not going to let this consume me anymore. And maybe it's not real at first. Maybe I have to fake it a little until I make it, of course. And maybe one day the chapter really does get closed and I can move forward in my life and I can be free of it. And I won't necessarily look back with any fondness, but I just won't look back. And I'll just move forward and it'll be better for me. And so, while it's still a few drafts away, I think that's what this eulogy is going to be. I'm forgiving for myself. Because I don't want this to consume me. And it's not going to happen overnight, but it will one day. And for now, I will just busy myself with paperwork and things. And do my first proper shift as an adult. And it'll be shit. It really is. I'm having a shit time. But I'll be okay. Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com. Or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier patron supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, and